This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
I loathe Canada. I love the brass rail, though.
That took a turn I wasn't expecting.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Jerry will join us in about a half an hour. I've got a hot take I'm about to lay on the line.
Really?
I think you guys are going to appreciate. Ray's coming up here in a moment. Leaf fans and Leaf media, I guess ourselves included, let's be honest, have been freaking out here because it feels like they haven't played in like 3 months. And
yep.
When Nikita Soshnikov getting called up, even though you know he's not going to play, is like a topic of discussion for 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because of the...
The clause.
The technicalities behind it.
No, I know.
He forced his way to get called up.
He did, but it's not an interesting topic is the point I'm making. Who cares? He's not going to play. He's the 13th forward. He's not going to be in the lineup tomorrow night. But when they don't play for 3 or 4 days, you're like, okay, where are we going with this?
It's topical.
Who are we going to talk about? What are we going to talk about? Because you can only speculate on the Matthews status and the injury for so long. And
well, Pierre LeBrun caught up with Lou Lamoriello, and Lamoriello insisted that Soshnikov was playing well. It didn't really have anything to do with the clause.
Okay.
And then he followed it up with, it's no one's fault.
Of course not.
It was an unfortunate set of circumstances.
It's an unfortunate set of circumstances. It's no one's fault.
Well, Freddie the Goat, though, gets
he got the
hung
gate.
Out to dry.
The Goat got the gate.
Yeah. And get the one-way ticket back to the Rico.
Yeah,
and maybe that is the case. Maybe Soshnikov has been playing well, but I don't expect him to play tomorrow night if they're healthy. He's not playing. And that's the point I'm trying to make here. If Matthews returns, and by all accounts, he's playing tomorrow night. If he returned, he skated, and he was with his line mates. He was with Nylander and Hyman.
Yeah, but what if...
What? Lou's going to step in and say
no,
you're not playing?
No, but what if, like, Babcock's like, yeah, he's got to get back into shape. Like, you know, we've been playing very well without him. Wouldn't that be the most ridiculous thing in the world?
Yeah.
It would be.
It would be.
It would actually be the most ridiculous thing
that
in the world.
That would be, like, so heroic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it happens all the time when a great player is out and they're winning. Should he come back in right away? Or should he sit again?
It's just ridiculous speculation. Like, like Lindgren playing well in Montreal.
Right.
Carey Price, the second that he's healthy enough, he's in the net.
It's more so with goalies.
Yeah.
That's really the position. Goalies and quarterbacks. Like, should we take this guy out? Like, he's really, really playing well.
You remember Dustin Tokarski?
Yes.
You remember when Price got run over by Kreider in the playoffs? And Tokarski came in and played, you know, pretty well. Then Price was ready to go, and
they took that to a game 7, didn't they?
But somebody, like, in the scrum asked Therrien, was like, you thinking of going back to Tokarski?
How tough is the decision to go with Carey Price?
And he didn't even answer the question.
Well,
he just horse-eyed the guy and moved
gave him
on.
To Bill Parcells.
The greatest example of that recently was when Brady was serving a suspension and Garoppolo played well. And remember that jackass in New England was trying to get Belichick? He's like, so what does this mean? Like, could Garoppolo be the guy? And Belichick just gave him the biggest death stare and didn't even give him a word. He just, like, grunted and moved on to the next question. Because he was so disgusted with the idea that this idiot would suggest that Jimmy Garoppolo should actually usurp the quarterback position in New England and punt Tom Brady to the curb.
That's possible.
That is the most recent absurd example. The Tokarski and Price one is a great one.
Yeah.
And I guess you could argue Matthews to an extent, but there's 12 forwards.
No, but
it's easy to take the 12th guy out.
Yeah, we're having fun with it.
Right. He's playing tomorrow night, I have to believe.
Yes.
In the end, maybe this is in the best interest of all parties involved because you gave him basically a week off.
Exactly.
You know, if you're comfortable with where you're at, it's not like he gets overplayed, though. He's not like Kopitar or McDavid or Sid.
Or 27 ever a night, but
never.
That speaks to the depth, and it also speaks to kind of how effective he is at playing.
Absolutely. Per minute, this guy's putting up stats
right.
That might be the best in the league.
So that's kind of I mean, they go hand in hand. He doesn't have to roll out for 25 minutes a night because Babcock can go to Kadri. He can go to Bozak. He can go to other players, and you're not going to get Matthews-type play, but I think Babcock knows how much he can get out of Matthews, and don't be shy, especially as the season starts to get on. You can double shift him.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's imperative that you do that later in the season, and imperative once you get into the playoffs especially. I mean, I understand the philosophy of Babcock, and I think it's one that can be frustrating in the moment, but I give him credit for being diligent in terms of sticking to it long term.
He's got his ways, and it's just going to be, this guy's getting this much ice time, this guy's going to be on the power play, Ron Hainsey's going to play 2 minutes on the power or the penalty kill. A couple years ago, it was Morgan Riley's not going to play 1 second of power play time.
Yeah.
And it was just like, well, okay, man.
But he sticks to the plan. I mean, this is not a guy who's rolling in every day and rolling the dice. Yeah, like, where am I going to go today? Yeah. Maybe tonight this guy's going to play 28 minutes. And then
because
tomorrow,
he's Mike Babcock, and he thinks that everything he comes up with is the greatest thing on earth. And
okay,
I'm sorry, Ron Hainsey playing every second of a penalty kill?
That's fine, but I would rather a confident guy than some flimsy goon.
You play defense. How do you play 2 minutes?
Okay, that's a very specific topic. Like, that's a specific situation. I'm talking big picture. Yeah. Babcock has a philosophy here where I will take that over the guy who rolls into the rink. And
I agree.
You have no idea what the hell he's going to do every single night.
You have a strict routine where you go right in, wrist deep, in the Mugu guy.
No, I'm anti-Mugu guy pan. Here's Ray on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. What's up, Ray?
I was like, wrist deep. Where the hell is he going? Oh, back to the Mugu guy pan.
Mugu guy pan.
Well, that's
this is something, you know, because I'm not on all the time. I didn't realize the start of the conversation was, you didn't even know what the hell it was.
Yeah. Mugu guy pan?
Yes.
No, I don't know what Mugu guy pan is.
But that's the best part of it now.
Is there actually pan on the end of it? Or is it just on a pan?
No, it's a pan. It's
Mugu guy pan. I don't know, dude. I've never had it
Mugu
either.
Guy
I just know it sounds very Chinese. Like, it's a very authentic Chinese dish.
Ray, have you ever had Mugu guy pan?
Probably, but it would have been at 2:30 in the morning, and I don't really remember it.
There's nothing better than Chinese food at like 3 in the morning.
See, Calgary, this is one thing about Calgary. They've got a place called Singapore Sam's that is open till 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So cowboys are let out at 2:30. You'd roll to Singapore Sam's. It's like an after bar.
It's the best, isn't
and
it?
You just get noodles
there
and wings. There was a place in Guelph called Sun Sun.
Sun Sun?
It was amazing.
Well, yeah, man. That's Spadina in Toronto. You go down Spadina at 3 on a Saturday night, it's like the Vegas Strip.
I know.
It's just booze bags looking for Chinese food.
I was after.
I went at the World Juniors, Kevin Pratt, who's one of our guys there. He's like, you got to come to, I forget the name of the place, like, you got to come to my place. So we go in there to, I don't even know when the last time anybody put a paintbrush in the place or when a new table was in there, but they walk in and everybody's like, Kevin, it's like Norm from Cheers. and he's like, let me order. He goes, I know what to order. I don't even know what I eat, but it was really, really good at the moment. But it was like, you're right. There was like a million places. He's like, no, not that one. It's this one over here. I was like, oh, okay. But he had his place. Everybody's got their favorite Chinese place, man.
I do find that's uniquely Chinese, having people order for you. You don't walk into McDonald's and a guy's like, hold up.
He'll
have a Big Mac. Like, you don't do that. It's only Chinese where other people order for you.
I don't mind.
I think it would be the fact is we don't even really, like, do you even really know?
No.
And so some guy could order Mugu Gai Pan or something else, and you're like, meh. Sure, I'll try it.
Yeah.
Why not?
I'll tell you what, you can't go wrong with an old school chicken ball in that red sauce.
That's right. That's the sweet and sour sauce.
The best.
That's where I was just going to say, I always order for myself because I don't know what's going on. So I want rice and chicken balls with the sauce on the side.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I work it. Huh. And then maybe some form of a beef dish. Very
General
well done.
Cow chicken.
Sometimes that red sauce, though, it can be like caulking.
It's so sticky.
You're like, what is it?
You're getting the 8 p.m. serving at 2:30 in the morning. They
warm it up with a blowtorch.
Dump it into a bowl. Some idiot will come in here later and he'll think it's just brand new for him. All right, I got a take. All right, I got a take. This is a take, and I'm quite curious to get all of your takes on this, okay?
Is it worse than Jose Theodore?
No, I think that was the worst take in the history of the show.
No, it wasn't.
That was the worst take in the history of the show. That you
we've been way worse
It wasn't
that.
Jose, it was Jose. He was calling him Jose Theodore.
Jose Theodore instead of Antti Niemi. Did you see the two stops Bobrovsky has made over the past two games?
Yeah, dropping a stick. I had to break it down on SportsCenter last night.
That was Hasek-esque. I mean, that was unbelievable. This guy is another Vezina away from being a lock Hall of Famer. Lock. Absolute lock. You win three Vezinas, I don't care if the rest of the career, you have an .850 save percentage.
Eddie Meo numbers.
You are a lock. You can't. How do you knock it in if you win three Vezinas? He's got two already.
Yeah.
I can't buy this lock. But
it's got to be a lock. Three Vezinas?
Three Vezinas.
Hasek had six. Did he not?
Six.
Okay, but he's like the greatest of the great.
Hasek's the greatest goaltender. In my opinion, he's the greatest goaltender who ever played. In my opinion. Now, I can't speak for people who played in the 60s, and, you know, you go back to Sawchuk and you know, Glenn Hull and everyone, like, that's just a different generation for me, and it's tough to compare generations. I'm talking in modern day, Dominik Hasek's the best goaltender I've ever laid eyes on, and to me, who's ever played the game. But that's me, personally.
I don't think you're alone in that, but that's how high he is. So, he had six.
Yeah.
If Bobrovsky gets halfway to that...
I don't think it's a crazy hot take.
I don't think it is
either. Chris Osgood one day being a Hall of Famer.
Well,
Ray, he's on zero.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, Ray. I want to put context on this because I believe that some of the players that get into the Hall of Fame, when we've put eyes on to them, we debate them. But they get better as time goes on because you start to look at their stats. So I maintain that Chris Osgood... 10 years from now, 20 years from now, will look a lot better because statistically what he's done, but we know what that team was like that he played behind, if that makes
sense. That's one of the things that's wrong with the Hall of Fame selection committee. With all due respect, how does Rogie Vachon get in 35 years after he retired? He must have been unreal in the old-timers games.
Right.
Like, there's just no way. And look, Chris Osgood won all his Stanley Cups, and I don't even know how many wins he's got.
He's got 400 wins, I think.
Yeah, he's got like a bucket load of wins, but he's not a Hall of Fame goalie. And I hate when we debate this stuff because it almost sounds like you're saying, oh, the guy's no good. That's not it. The Hall of Fame is, in my opinion, supposed to be for the great, not for the pretty good or the really good. And now they've voted in players that open up the door for a whole bunch of players that are really good, but in my mind shouldn't be Hall of Famers. I think you have a 3-year waiting period for the guys that retire, like the way it is now, and then in the next 5 years you're either in or out. That's it.
I agree with those standards. I wouldn't force guys in. If you have a year where you don't have anyone that should be in, sorry, doors are closed. Nothing we can tell you about it. There's nothing we can do. I think that plays a part also. They feel obligated to put four different players in every single year. But you look at Bobrovsky, and I know we don't talk about him that much because of the team he plays for. His numbers since he got to Columbus are spectacular.
Insane.
They're insane.
The only thing that has held him back, and it's not, it's been injury. That's
sure.
The only thing.
But why? Like,
now, well, once he lost 15 lbs, he's been healthy.
He dropped 17 pounds that one summer, came back and won the Vezina.
17 pounds.
The most bizarre element of it is he came from Philadelphia.
Right. Exactly.
The team that hasn't found goaltending.
Well, they chose Steve Mason over Bobrovsky. I believe that's what the decision was at that point.
I think they got traded for one another, didn't they?
No. No, I'll have to look.
All right, maybe they weren't involved in the trade, but Mason came from Columbus to Philly, and Bobrovsky went from Philly to Columbus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a swing and a miss.
Yeah, he. But you're right, Brian. Bobrovsky like what, is outstanding.
I mean, we immediately say Price, Quick, yep. Holpe. No, no, no. Bobrovsky is the man right
but
now.
But did you not? I took him. I don't know where you're at, Ray, or where you're at, O-Dog. I had him, I think, in my top 20 as far as ratings this year, rankings. But I pushed him down because I thought he wasn't going to do it again.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I thought he's kind of had hot season, cold season, hot season, cold season. So in my mind, I didn't think he would be there again this year. But he's been brilliant again.
Yeah, I don't think I had him quite that high. I'm just, I get no chance of finding it. But yeah. I thought that, like, the guy's in the top five or seven goalies for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think that's really much of a debate. I was at a coach's conference last year, and Brad Shaw was talking about defensive play. And there was this one play, and Brad's the assistant coach in Columbus, and there was this one play they broke down. It was just a train wreck in their zone. There were guys running all over the place. And Bobrovsky made an unbelievable save. And as he's talking about where the breakdown it was, he goes, and this is how you get to be a good coach.
Right.
And it was this amazing save that he made.
Yeah. Well, it's...
It changes the whole dynamic of your team. And, I mean, they're a good team anyway, but Bobrovsky, he's elevating them to, if he stays at this type of level, they're a lock to make the playoffs and be a competitive team going forward.
So why the hell would he drop his stick like that, Noodles? What's the accomplishment there?
I think you get more... This is what I was talking about last... I think you get quicker as far... Because you don't have the drag of the stick. And not that the stick is very heavy, but it is a piece that you have to bring across. And there's more extension on the blocker. So he drops the stick and actually gets across.
It's almost like he can be better at desperation with no
right,
stick.
Right, and he's done it. Now, I would argue against Detroit, that should have been a penalty shot because he kind of threw the stick a little bit. Last night, he flat out dropped it and came across and made that sick save on De La Rose. But he knew what he was doing. That's the one thing. Like, that wasn't, let me just try something. He made a conscious choice to drop his stick and get across. Now, conversely, on the pre-scout, if you ever get another opportunity, as a player, you have to have that in your mind that he's going to have full extension, but you can go five hole because he's not going to get across with stick coverage.
But you got to think at that, like, on the fly, snap judgment.
You're right, but what I'm saying
is... easier said than done.
If I'm doing my pre-scout, if I'm Steve Briere, the goaltender coach for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I walk through with an iPad before the game and I say to William Nylander, Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, JVR, you talk to a lot of the forwards, hey, this is what this guy's doing on a side-to-side play. Make a mental note. A guy like Matthews will have, he has the capacity to make a snap judgment play, and that he'll find the hole. So if you drop that in his lap, that's what a good goalie coach will do, is show nuggets of a goaltender where maybe he's vulnerable in a certain position. That way they don't have to look for a hole. It's instinct. And I've seen guys do it. Great play. Ray, I'm sure you know, with pre-scouts, you used to think certain goalies used to do certain things. So if you ever got an opportunity, you wouldn't even look. You would just fire it. And, I'm sure you're the same way.
I'm sure there's certain guys you wouldn't give that information to because it wouldn't matter.
Right.
Like they get that close to it, they're just plunging it forward. But there are guys, like you mentioned, that might be able to take advantage of it. But you're right. Like, there's certain guys you just kind of had a feel. If I get a chance in a certain spot, I don't even really care what he's doing short of being outside the net. I'm going to make this move.
Right.
Like I remember specifically one week, we were going into Philly and we had a home and home and I got beat on two breakaways. I went to my backhand, and after the game, Glenn Healy said to me, if you go the other way, you're going to beat him. And it was Dominic Roussel that was in net.
Yep.
And I worked at practice on, because it was odd for me to go to my forehand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I get a chance, I'm going to go to my forehand. I didn't even look where he was, and I faked to my forehand and scored. But it was from a thought in a pre-scout that I was like, that's going to be available for me. And you're right. Like if you're going side to side on Bobrovsky, man, he comes so fast. Maybe you can go five hole. Maybe if you had even a half a second more, you can just take it and go back across the other way, because he's got no chance. He's selling right. The farm, going left to right.
That information's kind of good before the game.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, he played in St. Louis one night. Scott Pellerin said, if you get in alone on that Turek, what was his name?
Marty? Roman Turek.
Roman Turek, that big tall guy?
Yeah.
Rip it five hole, go in every time. I had a breakaway, five hole, like just for fun.
Yeah.
I was like, just a little bit of info like that can
but
just...
The thing is, you have to have the proper pre-scout. I had a guy named Troy Loney. Do you remember, Ray, where you
were? Oh, yeah.
So Troy Loney played in Pittsburgh when Yager and Lemieux were there, and I started in Pittsburgh. So he goes, Jamie, if Yager gets a breakaway on you, he goes backhand every time, poke check him with that move you do in practice. Yager gets a breakaway, I go to poke forehand. Check him, he goes forehand and goes right around me, jams it in the open net. I skate to the bench, and Troy's like, I've never seen that move, sorry about that.
Yeah, really? You've never seen that move?
I mean, you have to consider the source, too, I guess.
Well, that would be like, but asking, with all due respect to Troy, who's running a USHL team, and he's done really well, asking him about how somebody's going to score would be like somebody asking me who's left-handed in a fight. I don't know. Eventually, they're all left-handed, aren't they?
Yeah.
I don't think that's the information they're looking for.
I figured if you get speed-bagged enough, you'll find a left in there at some point. Yeah.
Figured he would have helped me out.
Yeah.
I got nothing to add to that one. When the guys are talking, the other thing, here's a great bit of pre-scout, that we all heard. Hey, this guy doesn't like traffic. Oh, really?
What goalie does?
He's tell me the one guy that does. But every game, somebody would say, I'll crowd this guy. He doesn't like traffic. Okay, I'll get right on it.
Well, hockey cliches are the best.
Mark Bergevin would come in and say, guys, he takes the bus to the game. He doesn't like traffic. That was his comment. Like, you'd ask about, anyway, Patrick Waugh. He's like, yeah, takes the bus to the game. Doesn't like traffic.
Thanks, Berge.
Classic.
Great scouting report. Leafs are back in action tomorrow, and we all expect Matthews to play, and I don't think there'll be any rust. I mean, he tried to play it up like today he didn't feel himself or what. Like, come on. This guy could stop playing for 3 months and show up and light the lamp. I mean, special players have that ability. I don't expect to see any different player tomorrow night as long as he plays. I mean, I expect him to be the focal point of the offense and the best player on the team.
Well, if they're going to clear him to play, then that's what I expect. It's not the point in the year that, okay, we're gonna, you know, we're fighting for a playoff spot, so if he's in, he might be like in the playoffs where you're a guy's like 80% and you get what he can give. Like right now, if he's okay to play, I expect he's Matthews. And if they're not quite sure, or you know, it's not quite right, then he won't play. But if he's in, he's back on his, he's in his line. He's playing on the power play. He's playing the minutes that he normally plays in the role that he normally plays. I don't think anything would, to expect anything different than that.
No, exactly. And I think this can be very beneficial, long term for him to just shut it down for a week. He's played a lot of hockey over the past couple of years. They got 3 wins without him. I don't think anybody expected that, but they did.
Yeah.
And there's an NBA angle to this, and we have this conversation every once in a while. When is it going to get, when is it going to reach the NHL where these superstar players who you really, really need late in the season and into the playoffs, teams decide, this is the right time. Shut them down for a game. Shut them down for two. We can survive without them, and it will benefit him long term. I think the science is there. It's just a matter of it being accepted in the NHL.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the argument would be that, the way that the teams are right now, they're so bunched together in a lot of cases, they need every point you can get, and you can't really take the chance on resting a guy. I'm sure that would be the counterpoint. But if you're playing 3 games in 4 nights, and you give player X, Austin Matthews, game 2 off, now he's got a couple of days off. Of course he's going to feel better. He's going to feel more fresh. Why not? And in baseball, very rarely does a guy play every game, almost never. They always, then they give them 12 days off, which is a couple of days a month, and they play 150 games if they're healthy. Mm-hmm. Basketball, it's different. They, they get a big lead, and those guys come out after 30 minutes. Or you're like San Antonio, and they rest their entire team. And I'm with you. I know it's kind of like a badge of honor, but it's almost like a badge of who cares anymore. It's different. It doesn't matter. If you can get more rest, take the rest.
Well, you can spin the badge of honor the opposite way, too. They're not going to Matt Martin and saying, I think you need the night off. Like, they're going to superstar players. Like, if your team is saying, we need you so much, we don't need you tonight,
right?
That should be worn as a badge of honor. And that's the way the NBA looks at it. The superstars and the best teams are like, what do I have to prove in November?
Last year, LeBron and Kyrie, you're not going to Memphis. Just don't even...
Fine. Catch me in June when I'm back in the NBA Finals. That's when I'm really...
Just think of what you'd have to sell, like in theory, to both the players and the fans. Because like everything in hockey, hockey's a decade behind. And so it would be such a out of the norm, you'd have to sell it about why it's happening, why you're doing it, what the benefits are you think they're going to be. And there would be a lot of pushback for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's absolutely the right thing to do. Hell, who knows that Toronto's not doing that right now with Matthews? That you know, he is banged up, and, you know, we'll just give him another couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Why not?
Well, how would you know? Exactly. If they're telling you it's just standard procedure, he's banged up. They don't tell you what the injury is anyway, so what do we really know to begin with? You don't.
Well, maybe he just took one of O's Fridays.
Yes, a personal day.
Took a personal day.
He needed a personal day.
It's just called a day off. It doesn't need to be called a personal day. I had to open the chalet.
Hey, last thing before you go, they made a decision. They signed a guy who was afraid of bears instead of Bobrovsky.
Ilya Bryzgalov.
Oh. Yes.
Yes. That's Philly
you know what?
We're talking
that
about.
That came from the owner. He told them, and I've been told this, get me a free agent goalie. And the management team said the only one out there that fits is Bryzgalov. And he's like, yeah, good. That's the guy.
Pay them
9 years, 51 bones, and 3 years later, out the door because, you know, it was the first time.
Yeah.
We got to fly, buddy, but I've been asked on Twitter next week, next Wednesday, do a yes, Mugu guy, or no, Mugu guy.
We might have to do some research on Mugu.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll get after it, man.
Yes, Mugu guy, no Mugu guy.
Okay. It's in.
All right,
chalking it. Who's in charge of keeping track of that stuff?
Nobody is.
No,
forget about it anyway.
That's the way it works.
It's not going to happen, but
no,
we'll promote it.
It's a hell of an idea.
All right, buddy, we'll do it tomorrow.
Later.
Ray on Overdrive is brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca. Some news on Ezekiel Elliott, and we'll catch up with Jerry next. All right, so big news in the NFL. For starters, we haven't mentioned the Bills saying, take a lap to Tyrod Taylor, you're out. Nate Peterman is going to take over, a rookie quarterback who did replace him in the second half this past weekend. And we'll touch on that momentarily. But Ezekiel Elliott didn't play this past weekend, and he's left the country and he's out of here. But multiple sources around the NFL are reporting that he is dropping the appeal altogether. It's over. He's just going to sit out for six games. He returns, I think, December 24th.
You think that's an admission of guilt?
I think it's an admission that he's never winning.
Yeah.
I think it's an admission that Tom Brady didn't win, so you're not winning. It's over. So why continue to push it and then carry it into next offseason and then the next year? Eventually, you are serving six games. I think that's what it is.
There should have been a realization of that right at the beginning and just said, yep, okay, I can't win this, so why prolong it?
Well, I understand, like, if he's innocent, he should fight for his innocence, he should fight for his name.
That is very true.
And his reputation. I'm all for that. And I would assume he will come out whenever he speaks and he will say, don't take this as an admission of guilt.
Right.
I'm just admitting I know I can't win. They have too much power, they're screwing me here, forget it. I would think that's what will come out of his camp because he has to protect himself. If he didn't do any of this stuff, I mean, but the NFL is essentially saying, we believe you committed domestic violence, and that's why you're being suspended six games.
I mean, the NFL must have put something in front of either him or his lawyer saying, this is what we believe.
Oh, they're,
or know
I'm sure
happened.
They're aware of what they have, but right. The law, like the police department, the attorney generals, they didn't charge him. They didn't follow through on it. So there's the big news this hour featuring Zeke Elliott in the NFL. Let's catch up with Jerry.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
Jerry's back. Tell a friend.
No, keep the booing.
Are we having fun yet?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, from 2 people to 300. Let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking for you. Head down to 942 the Queensway or jump online, bestpc.ca.
Good chicken.
Very good chicken. Very good rice. Very good potatoes. Very good salad. Very
love
good
the rice.
Dessert options.
Yes.
Lots of options. We love that place. All right, let's see what kind of hot takes Jerry has in store this week.
Two statements to start the segment. Jeremy Jacobs, I loved it when you said Jerry does a great job. Because he does. Jerry never gets his panties in a knot. And Rene Fasal, if you chirp me one more time, I'll rip that mustache right off your face. You leave Jerry alone. He's not retiring any time soon. Let's get to it. After finally coming to their senses and planting that stiff Tyrod Taylor on the bench, the Buffalo Bills will finish the season with at least 8 wins.
Interesting take. Tyrod Taylor, clearly Jerry not a fan of his. They're 5-4 right now.
I think the wheels are just going to be like, it's like, oh, remember all the players? They were doing interviews after the game. Oh, what, you media are coming in here now. We are the real deal. We're the real deal. Now you're not. Now you're not. And I don't think this is a Houston situation where they went to the young quarterback and it all.
No.
It's not Watson.
No, it's not. This is an admission. They never wanted Tyrod Taylor anyway. This is a new regime. They didn't think they were going 5-2.
I think 20%.
Yeah, I'm lower than that. I'll leave the door open a little bit because they've got the Dolphins twice. They've got the Colts at home. But they got the Pats twice. They're at the Chargers this weekend. They're at the Chiefs.
They'll get rinsed at the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm 10%. I think they're going to spiral out of control. I do. I think they know it. That's why they're going this road.
So they need 3 out of 7 games.
Yeah, they need correct? To go 3-4 to get to 8-8.
Oof. It's close. That's a really good.
It is, but have you been seeing these guys play the past 2 weeks?
I have.
Now they're going to a rookie quarterback who was like the 8th quarterback drafted in this past draft. He's got no experience. There's no reason to believe he can do anything.
6%.
Yeah, we're all low on this. All low. I mean, the Bills are who we thought they were.
They're going to get to 7 wins.
And then they'll pick like 12th.
Well, they're going to get 7.
They might get to 7.
Old school Maple Leaf move.
It's not like they're not going to win.
No, they're going to beat the Colts at home, and they'll split with the Dolphins. They'll get 2 wins. I'm with you. I think they'll get to 7.
No, they're going
to
get 7.
Sidney Crosby will finish the season with less than 30 goals. You won't need to skip the All-Star game this year, Sid,
because you're not even going to make it. And Jerry's very, very happy.
Wow, Jerry.
Jerry happy about that.
Well, because Sid has stiffed
him at the game.
You would think so, but remember, we had access to Jerry's voicemails when he was calling Sid, praying for him to get to the All-Star game, and Sid blew him off.
Oh, yeah.
So he doesn't like Sid. He doesn't like Sid at the All-Star game. Crosby's got to be embarrassed by the league-wide reaction. He scores a goal last night, and everyone's like, oh, here he is. What? Like, he's never scored before. But he is off to a slow start.
Marks on Twitter saying, don't be shocked if Crosby picks it up now. He'll be on fire.
He's off to a very slow start, though, based on his standards.
He did this 2 years ago, man. He was terrible off the start.
Remember, up to Christmas, we even talked in the show. Like,
multiple segments. Is this guy done?
All right. Well, he's got 6 through 20. Is he going to get 24 over the next 62 games?
I say yes.
85%, yes. He's that kind of player. Although there always is that thing. Is this the year he doesn't do it?
Where are you at?
I'm lower than that. I'm
really.
You guys, I'm just like a non-factor in this game.
96%.
You guys think my percentages are garbage, and you just try to weigh in where
you. Because you always go first.
You go first, and then you usually go either 100% or zero.
Yeah, exactly.
So we just try and weigh it in the middle. So.
What did you say? 85%.
Yes.
Okay, you're high on it. I'm lower on it. I mean, he had 28 goals a few years ago. A down year for him statistically. Yeah. He is off to a bad start.
Mm-hmm.
He's played a lot of hockey the past 2 years. I think he'll hit 25, but. I'll say 49%. 49%. I'm in the minority.
96. I said 90 something.
Yeah, you think he's hitting 30 for sure.
You know what we forgot about? Our buddy Phil. He's on fire.
He's always on fire.
He's got 24 points.
He's always on fire.
He's tied for like third in the league in scoring.
Mm. Yeah.
Phil Kessel.
And yet we're focused on Sid.
Yeah. What's wrong with Crosby?
He's only got 15 points. He's minus 14 on the season.
You got couple guys at minus 14.
A little bit strange.
I mean, they've got rinsed three back-to-backs where they gave up a 10 spot at eight spots, so
that
happens.
Doesn't help.
Josh Donaldson will start the season in Toronto with a long-term contract extension.
These two sons of b****s in Toronto won't say anything. They don't talk. They give no scoops. They say nothing.
He's been tracking Chaparin Atkins. I'm a bit surprised by that. He's a busy guy, yet he's wondering what these two guys.
He doesn't like him, I don't think.
No, I don't think he does either. I'm high on this. I don't get the sense, based on Steve Phillips and his reports, that these two sides aren't even talking right now. I kind of sense they're going into the season without a contract. 65% that Donaldson shows up at spring training without an extension. I mean, he'll get 45%. The one-year deal, but...
45%. They have to say, you got to hear the term, it's our number one priority for us to hammer this down.
Exactly.
That's when you hear that, you get it done.
Yep.
Because you're like, it's mandatory. People in Toronto, don't worry. This guy's going to be here regardless of where our team's at. Our number one priority is to get this done.
Can you stop doing that?
What did I do?
You're banging on your microphone.
The mic and it's...
As if you could hear it.
Mullen?
I think you can hear it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're passionate about it.
Playback on this.
All right.
Go ahead, Jamie.
Okay, I think it's going to be lower because they'd be ridiculous not to O's point, not to make this a priority, unless they've made it up in their mind that they're done with him.
I think there's a chance they've decided what they're doing.
Well, they've decided, they're just not letting everyone know.
Right.
But I'm going to say 12% that he doesn't, because he deserves a new contract.
He does. But O makes a good point. Like, when the superstars come up, it's our top priority to get Aaron Rodgers signed long-term this offseason.
And it gets done.
And it gets done. When Mike Trout comes up, it's our top priority. When Sid comes up, when McDavid comes up.
I was going to say, when Matthews comes up,
Some GMs come out and say, we've got free agents that are out there that are top priority for us, and we're coming after them hard.
They've never
Steve
said that.
Steve Phillips has talked about it. He's like, sometimes the Yankees would just make somebody a top priority just because the Red Sox had them on their radar.
Right.
To this push guy's the price on their up. Team.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. There's still a lot of time between now and the start
That's
of the
right.
year,
they,
but
think,
at this
they've
point,
got some time.
Something's
got to
get going here.
Yeah.
An absolute miracle took place in Houston last night as the Raptors actually beat an elite team. Well, they've got 9 more games combined against the Cavs, Celtics, Rockets, Warriors, and Spurs.
And I say they win 2 or less. Back to reality for the mediocre Raps. Or as I call them, the Craps.
Jerry.
He hates a Canadian team.
He just hates it. He hates Toronto. He hates Canada.
The Raps, the Craps.
That was a very impressive win. That was a great win in Houston last night. 9 more games combined against Jerry's 5 elite teams.
Cavs, Celts. More than 2.
I don't know, man. Dude, last year they didn't beat Cleveland. They didn't beat Golden State. They didn't beat San Antonio. They do not beat elite 100%
teams. 100% they get more than 2.
Okay. You're at 100%.
It's... You come in here.
They've already got one.
Like, I watch you on Twitter.
No, I mean, it's from now on.
Yeah.
Like, there's 9 games
so
left.
So they've got to have three total.
They got to go 3-6 against these teams the rest of the way.
I say they'll do it.
I follow you on Twitter when you're like, here we go again.
Yeah.
Now, don't show up against the big boys. And
last night, I have to hand it to them, man. Chris Paul wasn't playing, but still, win in Houston, that's very impressive. They played really well.
You know what? I'm gonna go with the Hayes school of thought. That you're not buying it.
No, I'm not.
I'll say 47%.
Yeah, I'll go a little lower. I'll go 45%. I'll grease you a little bit, but I want to believe they can do it. Because then I can take that into the offs or into the postseason and be like, okay, here we go.
Yeah, they've done something. Yeah,
playing with a different style, shot the three really well last night. The kids showed up, and the kids have been playing well so far. But you got to show me more than one win on the road against a very good team, because they haven't beat these teams in the past. They just haven't.
One of Nazem Kadri or James Van Riemsdyk will finish second in points for the Maple Leafs this season.
This is an interesting one, because I'm assuming Jerry thinks Matthews will finish first, and I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah.
But I think most people came in expecting either Marner or Nylander to be second in points. He's got either Kadri or JVR being second.
At this particular point, I'm going 80% on that, and I think it's going to be Kadri.
He's currently second in points. He's having a great year.
Yeah.
A great year.
Backing it up.
He is. I mean, he got that contract, and he's played really well ever since he got paid.
Yeah, he got that contract, and it's almost one of those things where if you could look forward in this situation, if he bet on himself after like a 2-year bridge deal,
What is it? 6 years, $4.5 million. That's a great contract.
Good value. What did you say? For percentage?
80%. I think you said.
I believe it was 80. Yeah.
80%.
31%, because I'm going with the field. Like, Marlowe's there, Nylander's there, Marner's there. Like, it's not like they're 3 points behind these guys.
Right.
Like, that's the thing. I'm going with the field.
I mean, you're talking two guys who can put up points. Like, JVR and Kadri were both guys who I believe had 60-plus a year ago, mm-hmm. or were right there with Marner and Nylander. And they both get power play time together.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I think Marner had himself a weekend that might spark his season. I'm waiting for him to really get hot.
Yeah.
I think he's got the ability to really get hot. And he's not alone. Nylander, to your point, Patrick Marleau's been playing really well.
Yeah. Like, it just... I'll say
50%. I'm right on
there. There's other guys that are just have the ability, and that's no slight on JVR and Kadri. It's just, I think somebody else is going to grease up there.
I'm right down the middle. 50%. All right, we got time for one more. One more Jerry's.
After Donald Trump pulled some strings to get LiAngelo Ball out of China, LeVar Ball will send a pair of big baller brand shoes to the White House.
Don't be shy to send some to Jerry, too. He wore mandals at the White House. Do you remember that?
Jerry wore some... just hardcore mandals.
Those mandals. How do you roll into the White House in a pair of mandals?
Yeah, winter mandals. I'm going to say 100%. They both get big baller brand shoes.
I'm with you 100%. If LeVar Ball doesn't send a pair of big baller brand shoes to Trump after him pulling strings to get his boy out of jail in China,
his whole company should
go south.
Knowing LeVar, though, he'll send a bill with it.
He probably would. 100%. 100%.
100% too.
All right, Bobby Mack back on the show, and we'll get to our roulette. We got to hit the roulette table later this afternoon. We'll tell you why later in the afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, Bobby Mack coming up. We'll get back into the Bills news from today. The Raptors winning last night. They're in New Orleans taking on the Pelicans tonight. We'll tee that up. And Ross Atkins just can't answer a question about a rumor. Can't do it. Won't do it. Not going to happen. That more in the final hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.